This podcast is part of the Blueberry Network. You can find this and other great podcasts at blueberry.com. That's blueberry with no E's .com.
Okay. Do you have your grumpy sweatshirt on, Mom?
What?
Do you have your grumpy sweatshirt on?
No, I don't have my grumpy sweatshirt on. I wear that just so people are forewarned.
Who's in the booth?
Amy is up in the booth and she's videotaping up there. Thank you for that's why we should say something about that as a matter
yes.
of fact. Amy Pulaski
yes,
is taping.
Is.
Are we about ready to start?
We yes. are about ready to start.
Ready to...
Yes. I am Dave Dufour.
I'm John Schaup.
I'm Marcia Fulmer, and we are theater geeks.
Hey, there we go. That's what we were waiting for.
I didn't put the applause sign up. I should have put the applause sign up.
I know, I should have.
Hi, this is Theater Geeks, the podcast about community theater and the performing arts. We're doing special episodes at the Bristol Opera House in Bristol, Indiana, which is our home theater, in front of a live audience. And they are mostly live anyway. And they're really, we're very glad to have you here. We also have a special guest with us today is Dee Dee Lovejoy, Deirdre Lovejoy, as you see her in credits on television and motion pictures, has joined us via Skype, as well as, thank you. Also with us today is Rick Ellis, who has consented to be our quiz master for these special episodes, because thank you very much to Rick. And also our MC for the quiz segments today is Mr. Kevin Nagelsky.
Okay.
Now, you may be wondering, and I didn't really talk about this in the last episode, but one of the reasons, or probably the reason we're doing this here live, is it's sort of a celebration for us. Theater Geeks has been on the pod, as we say, for over 2 years now. We did a smallish event like this about a year ago, actually about a little over a year ago, and thought it was enough fun to try to move it into the Opera House. And so we are in our third year. We are taping somewhere around our 50th and 51st, 52nd episodes today. And so we're really glad to keep on trucking with Theater Geeks. So, anyway, we are starting with our games. Let the games begin, Mr. Agelski.
Thank you, Dave. Okay, our first one is we're going to play Get the Geeks. Now, we've got a list of questions. We're going to ask our esteemed panel, each of them questions for 30 seconds. The one who answers the most will win something for whoever's coupon they just got. So, John Schaup.
Oh, great.
You're first.
It's just like an audition. It really is best to go first. Just get it out
yes,
of the way.
Yes, it is. Get it out of the way.
Yep.
And we can all laugh.
And randomly chosen for you, you have questions on technical difficulty.
Okay. Well, let's see.
Okay. Are you ready?
As ready as I can possibly be on a Saturday morning.
Okay, the clock will start after I read the first question. Who is responsible for making sure all light, sound, and stage cues are executed at proper times?
The technical director?
Wrong, the stage manager.
Oh, see?
God.
I do it all. I don't remember.
Number two, if a technician is in the grid, where are they?
They're above the auditorium in the lights.
Very good. Correct. Number three, when technicians are loading in, what are they doing?
They're bringing scenery in through the loading docks.
Correct. And what does a dresser do?
Costumes a person. They dress them backstage.
Very good. And gathering small items of furniture is often the responsibility of which department?
You know what? The gong went off and I didn't even hear the question.
Okay.
It scared me.
Gathering small items of
I thought we were having a
props.
Technical problem.
There you go. Yeah. Thank you, John.
Props was the answer. Yay,
I only get 30 seconds. It doesn't seem like enough.
Wow.
Really.
No, you can keep going.
No. Really. It's all yours. It's all yours, Marcia.
Who's next?
John, you got four. Marcia, you are next.
Yep.
And it is Stars Light Up the Stage.
Okay.
And again, the clock will start after I read the first question.
Okay.
She debuted, and you may answer the question before I finish.
Okay.
Okay. First question. She debuted in Gentlemen Prefer Blondes and went on to play over 5,000 performances as her signature role as
Carol Channing.
Thank you. Glory and Training Day each gave him an Oscar. But August Wilson's Fences in 2010 garnered him the Tony.
Morgan Freeman?
Denzel Washington.
Oh, Denzel. Okay, sorry.
She's called, quote, the undisputed first lady of the musical comedy stage. Her theme song tells us there is no business like show
oh,
business.
Oh, Lord Ethel Merman.
Ethel Merman, yes.
Lord he's Ethel famous, Merman?
He's, yeah. he's famous Ethelman. As the choreographer for shows like Sweet Charity in Chicago, but he also played...
Bob Fosse.
Thank you. Oh, there we go. The gong went off. Okay, here's the next one for Marcia. Marcia, she was the original Fair Lady Eliza and finally a movie star as the novice Maria.
Yes, okay. Julie.
Julie.
Oh, my God. My mind just went totally blank. Help.
Andrews.
Very
thank
good.
You.
Julie Andrews, yes.
Well, no, we all know her
this
by Julie
this happens
anyway.
To me all the time.
Okay, Marcia, you got yeah. four questions.
Oh, gee. Oh, are we going to have to have a quiz off?
We'll
just fight up here.
Have
on the
a quiz stage. Off. There we go.
And Dave, now you get musical madness.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. All right.
Again. The clock will start after I read the first question. 10 years ago, this musical on John Waters' film welcomed us to the 60s.
Hairspray.
Thank you. We all grew accustomed to her face in this musical.
My Fair Lady.
Everyone, that is correct. Everyone learned to be popular in this musical, now, and now I'm green with envy that it's the most popular musical. Popular.
Green.
Green. I don't know.
Wicked.
Wicked. Wicked. Oh, okay.
Bernstein and Sondheim retold the story of Romeo and Juliet in which story?
West Side Story.
And this musical tells us that puppets can have a purpose and find a cozy place to live on this street.
Avenue Q?
That is correct. It's...
See, we all...
it's
tied?
Now... Oh, here's the last one.
Oh.
And now, it's the longest running show on in Broadway history and still the sweetest music of the night.
Phantom.
Phantom of the Opera is correct.
So Dave wins.
Well, it appears that Dave has won. Dave had five.
I can't believe I won.
I can't either.
Not knowing Wicked, I can't even believe I won. Okay, all right. So the winner of what?
Of the winner of getting Mark Potuck's right. voice on your answering machine in any number of dialects. The number is?
082 is the three last letter.
Oh, my God. Dee Dee, that's Jody.
There you go.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's what happens Jody. When you wear Theater Geeks underwear.
That's
so please, remember, visit our website at theatergeeks.com.
There you go.
Are you really
that
excited?
That is perfect. That is
whoa.
Perfect.
Woo!
All right. Well, Dee Dee, were you excited about that?
I'm not as excited as Jody.
That's right. Okay. All right. Hey, what we thought we would do today is elicit some audience response as well as some, you know, our own conversation up here. And this is sort of part two of an episode we did quite a while ago that we titled Audience Smackdown. And what it is discussing our favorite, actually our non-favorite or basically our pet peeves about other people in an audience. What do audience members do that really annoy us?
Can I go first?
You can go first. There you go.
Loud screamers?
No. Loud screamers.
Just had to do that, Jody. Sorry.
I've often, you know, it's sort of in that vein, and this is nothing against this young lady down here, but I was thinking, you know, it's how applause has given way to, and I can't even do it. Woo-hoo-hoo! That thing. Have you noticed that? Do they do that in the legitimate theater, Dee Dee?
Oh, of course. Of course.
It's a strangest whooping instead of clapping. It's like, you know, you watch old television show and people are in suits and they're applauding, and now it's whooping.
I got nothing, Dave.
Well, I will tell you something, though. And
I just think it's weird.
Dave would have hated me, though, because I went to see the National Tour of Cabaret, and when she finished her song in Act Two and threw the microphone to the floor, I stood up and I hooped. There was something inside me. I was amazed
something
at her performance, and I just stood up and hooped. And everybody around me looked at me like I was crazy.
Well,
okay.
But it was one of the best performances of a song I had ever
seen. Okay, that brings to mind one of my pet peeves, which is the fact that Lately, it seems that no matter whether the show is good, bad, or indifferent, the audience feels compelled to give it a standing ovation. Which point, if you look at me, I'm in my seat, because nobody used to come to my office and give me a standing ovation when I did the job I was supposed to do. So the people up here are doing what they're supposed to be doing. So loud applause is certainly there, merited to do that. But standing ovations every single time just takes away from what a standing ovation is really supposed to be, which is something for an extremely special, over-the-top, wonderful performance. And I have been at some of those which were neither, and it still got a standing ovation. So unless you think it's really, really super spectacular, please just keep your seats and keep applauding.
Right. The only problem is that if you don't stand up, you look like you're...
I don't
like
care.
Well, I'm just saying.
You look like a crab.
I stay seated. Yeah. Luckily, when I'm always towards the back of the auditorium, so when people stand up in front of me, they can't see me that I'm still seated, so it's all good.
That's right. Sometimes you have to stand to see the actors for the curtain call.
Because everybody else is?
Well, I like to stand up because I can't see the stage. I want to see the actors.
Well, that's all right. You've seen enough.
Wear a sweatshirt that says Grouch.
No, it says grumpy.
Okay, we have an audience member with a pet peeve.
Yes.
Please give us your name and tell us what your pet peeve is.
Hi, it's Jeff McEwen. And although conversation around me is distracting, if it's unrelated to what's going on, I can almost block it out. It's when I'm getting running commentary or, oh, this is the best part. You got to listen to this. Oh, this is the best song.
Right.
That stuff just is nuts.
Yeah, you see that. Right. You see that a lot at movies, especially where people think it's like watching television at home, kind of.
Yep.
But you're right. You're right. Anybody else? Anybody else got a pet
peeve? I have
an
audience pet peeve. While that audience member is coming up to tell
her. Okay. What is it?
Cell phones and texting during shows. It's the light from the phone is so distracting. I've actually sat in Broadway theaters where people were actively texting during the entire show. And it's infuriating that people can't put their phones down for long enough to
watch. Yeah, but like
at
150 plus a ticket, you'd think that texting would not be what you'd pay attention to.
That's absolutely true.
But, or do they think that because they pay $150 a ticket, they can do whatever they want?
No.
Yeah,
no, I think there's this, people are so used to television and being in their own home or having it on their own screen that the etiquette of actually going into a live theater performance is somehow getting lost.
It's ridiculous.
That's right. Another one? Another one. Okay, here comes another one.
Oh. Whoa.
And she's climbing over the seats, which is one of my pet
peeves. That's one of my pet peeves, climbing over theater seats. Please give us your name and what is your pet peeve?
I'm Liz, and my pet peeve is parents who allow their children to kick the back of my seat while I'm watching a show.
Okay.
Right. That's true. And then if you say something, then it's like you're the bad guy, right? Because you kicked the puppy, kind of thing. Go ahead. The one I have is, and we have had this happen on one occasion where someone decided that they would sing along with the music on stage. And perhaps add their own harmony. And that is a little weird, but I've seen it done, believe it or not.
Hmm.
Believe it or not.
Hmm.
And I think we have a guilty geek in our midst.
Oh, really?
A guilty geek, yeah.
Uh-oh.
When they start dancing.
When they start dancing, that's another thing. Okay, all right. Those are just some of ours. Any more from out there in the audience?
I still cellophane wrap candy drive me crazy.
Yeah.
I'll never forget when we said that, and there was a whole group of women. They may have been Red Hat Society. I don't remember. Sitting in the front row, and one of them had brought a bag of cellophane wrapped candy, and so they immediately started passing the bag down the row. So each person could have a piece of candy.
Right.
And then, you know, as they got it, it was like a 21-gun salute. Unwrap, 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 unwrap. You know, just right down the row. It was the most annoying thing in the world.
Right.
We actually almost stopped a show once because of cellophane wrap candy.
Really?
Yeah. We were doing the Glass Menagerie, and it was so loud in the auditorium. during one of the most important monologues in the show. Mm-hmm. And they just, the actors, they were looking at each other going, do we stop? Do we stop? We should stop. They decided to continue, but they almost stopped the show.
Which prompted the line, I'm going to the moon and much further where they don't have candies wrapped in plastic.
She's in the attic.
Yeah.
We did a corporate performance one night. This has been many years ago, and it was a sales group of some description for a company that I won't name, but the noise of beer can pop tops opening was a little on the distracting side of the audience.
Plus, right. It makes you thirsty.
Tells you what kind of an audience it was, you know.
Anyway. I have another pet peeve.
Yeah, what's yours?
People that can't come to the theater on time.
Oh, I was just going to say that.
Okay.
That's weird. No, that's weird.
Yeah, we were talking about that in the lobby today, actually, because we held the show last night, and we don't normally hold the show, and we held it because we had some issues at the box office with people arriving late to purchase tickets even. I think they were just walk-ins at the box office. And so we held the show, and we were saying we really shouldn't hold the show.
It's not fair to the people that made an effort to get there and be in their seats on time to make them wait 10 or 15 minutes because other people couldn't show up.
But as Marcia says, they know here I'm going to talk for 10 or 15 minutes before the show starts anyway.
No, so. You're not.
The problem is when you've got like 8 or 10 seats in the middle and you know you're going to have to interrupt. You're going to have to interrupt people at some point to seat those people perhaps later on.
When the weather makes a difference, okay, but not when the weather is clear and there's parking places and you just should be here on time, that's all.
Well, the classic from our theater, probably not the classic, but one of the classics is The Lady Who Knits.
Oh, yeah.
Some of you in the group here know about The Lady Who Knits, but there was a lady that came to shows, and I think still does, but for many years she thought that it was okay to do her knitting in the front row, and then, and almost inevitably, during the show, she would drop one of the knitting needles onto the hardwood floor, and it would ring like a bell.
Well, she said... Believe me, she sat in A10, I remember distinctly. She sat in A10, and her husband used to sit next to her and sleep. So
that's right, yeah.
Somebody wake Ray up.
Yeah. Oh. Okay, all right. So anyway, if you are guilty of any of these pet peeves,
please don't.
Stop it right now.
Yeah.
Just stop.
There you go.
Just stop.
Be on time, et cetera.
Right.
And, also, people who have children in the auditorium that start to cry, and I have my granddaughter in the audience today, and she's been excellent and perfect, as she always
is,
of course.
Don't say that.
But when children cry, the parents who don't take their child out, you know, depending on the situation. Now, in our theater, we usually don't have babies in the audience.
Yeah,
but
they're not
Well, we
allowed.
We also have a written policy. I mean, whether or not we fulfill it, it's always, at the discretion of whomever. But, we say no babies or toddlers.
Mm-hmm.
Because of that, you come to the theater to enjoy.
Here we go, cell phone.
One of my pet peeves.
So that just happened at the New York Philharmonic. Did anybody see the...
No.
The conductor stopped the show in the middle of a piece. The conductor stopped
Which one
the
was
show.
This? Because I watched a couple of them.
It was just recently.
Yeah, it was this week.
And the Wall Street Journal did an article about it because there was a reporter from the Wall Street Journal was there. And that exact ringtone, the marimba on an iPhone, went off. And the conductor said in an interview that it wouldn't stop. And the person wouldn't stop it. And he stopped the show until they turned the phone off.
Wow.
I was actually in a theater once in a Broadway show, and a phone went off, rang 3 or 4 times, and you thought the person was going to reach down and silence it. And instead, he picked up the phone and went, yeah, no, I'm at a play. No, it's not very good. I'm not.
Wow. Okay. I think we have covered the subject reasonably well. What do you think?
Yeah. I think we're done.
Okay. I think we're done. Okay.
We think we're done.
All right. Anyway, so by the way, if you are listening or if you're here in our audience and you want to email us your pet peeves, you send them to Dave. John, or Marsha at theatergeeks.com, and we might use them in an upcoming episode. How's that?
Because
we'd love to hear more of those kinds of things, and actually suggestions for future episodes would be very, very good as well. And now it's time for, Kevin?
For Limericks.
Limericks! Yay!
And now what we're going to do is we're going to pick another ticket, and a member of our audience is going to try to complete three limericks. If they complete two of the three, they get to pick from our
treasure trove here.
Our treasure trove, thank you. ECT memorabilia.
I picked these out this morning.
Yes.
Oh.
He spent almost 5 minutes.
He shopped. Did. He shopped like a maniac in the basement.
And we have number 61.
Right here.
There, right here.
All right.
That's Jason.
There you go.
Step on over to the microphone. And...
All right, here's Jason. And Jason, here we go. Here's your first one. He gave Oscar and Felix their timing, but he never resorted to rhyming. While here at ECT, Brighton Beach, you can see. He's the great biocomic Neil...
Simon.
Neil Simon, correct.
Very good. I would never have guessed that.
Well, you didn't guess Wicked.
Okay, here's your second one. She'll witness an ending that's twisty. Her appointment with death's a good mystery. And then there were none, or the mousetrap is fun. The verdict is for Agatha...
Christie.
Very good.
Hey, okay. And one more for brownie points?
And your third one for the brownie points. She just wrote about a sex tool. Dead man's cell phone was super cool. The clean house was awesome, but Eurydice lost him. She's the hip new playwright, Sarah...
Deidre, any help?
Didi?
Rule.
Yes, very good.
Very good. Okay. Sarah Rule is the name.
Thank you for your help, Edie.
Sarah Rule. All right, so Jason gets to pick out one of our excellent gifts there, and he is going to select, let's see, which one will it be?
Oh, Lord.
I hope it's not a weapon.
The teapot looks very inviting.
Okay,
good.
Plus salt and shaker.
Weapon.
I think you get the salt and shaker.
I have no idea who donated that. If you're sitting in the auditorium, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Regifting. Awkward moment.
Repropping.
Okay, we're going to close out this episode of Theater Geeks. Thanks very much to Rick Ellis, Kevin Agelski, and to Didi Lovejoy.
And to Amy Pulaski in the booth.
Amy Pulaski, who's lighting us.
Amy Pulaski, yes, in our light booth, who is lighting us as well as doing some videotaping up there. Hello. We can't, the audience can't see you. Taping. This is audio, right? Anyway, thanks very much. You can listen to Theater Geeks at theatergeeks.com. You can listen to us on Stitcher, which is the great app, as Rick pointed out, for both iPhone and Android. Also, what's the other one? Downcast?
Downcast
is another app that you can use to listen to our podcast. Of course, iTunes as well. You can pick us up on the Blueberry Network. We're available all over the place.
Wow.
So come to our store, theatergeeks.com/store, where you can buy hats, mugs, T-shirts, teddy bears, and...
underwear.
Oh, underwear.
Thank you very much. Was waiting for that. Anyway, so thanks for being with us today. I'm Dave Dufour.
I'm John Shout.
And I'm Marsha Fulmer. And we are Theater Geeks.
Music for Theater Geeks was provided by MusicAlley.com. We'd also like to extend a heartfelt thanks to Kristen Schwerhaus-Scott, Corey Fortunato, Amy Pulaski, Rick Ellis, Kevin Agelski, and Mark Potuck for helping to make this live episode of Theater Geeks possible.